It's pretty humbling to be asked to share a message by Pastor Nick, who is such an incredible teacher of us each week. But when he then follows with, but it's a special Sunday where we're going to have, what's the name of our group that's not here? Teen Challenge is going to be there. So the message is going to be a short part of the service, and it's, you know, it's really the focus is going to be on Teen Challenge. And so I said, yes, I'd be happy to share a message with the church today. Then Teen Challenge had to back out. When Nick asked me, I said I'd be happy to share what God has been working in my own life over these past few years. And what I believe the Lord has led me to share with the church this morning is intended to be an encouragement. And it starts with a very basic question. What do you want? What is it that you want most? I'd like you to, if you've got a bulletin and a pen or a pencil, I'd like you to jot down what comes to mind when I ask that question, what do you want most? A few years ago, I had a chance, Zach and I helped Micah with the youth group, and we specifically disciple the young men in our youth group. And so a few years ago, I asked them this question. I said, guys, what do you want? What do you want most? This was a few years ago, so most of those guys aren't still around. I want a girlfriend. I want money. I want a Lamborghini. I said, guys, what do you really want? I want to be famous. I want to be successful. I appreciate the guys in the small group at that point who basically were sharing what first came to their minds. And some of us who are older might look at those answers and say, those are kind of immature, youthful desires. Certainly we can do better than that. But I wonder this morning, in my own life and in your life, are our answers all that different than what those young men answered those few years ago? This morning, we're going to take an honest look at our desires and what they tell us about ourselves and our nature. And we're going to look at what God says will truly satisfy us. As we get going this morning, will you pray with me? Father God, we pray that you would calm our hearts, that you would allow us to set aside the things in our minds, and that you would allow us to hear from you and from your great truth about what your Bible says will truly satisfy our souls. It is a privilege, Lord, to come together today among these friends and to share this message from your word. And I pray that you would guide my words and be with us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Every human being has a longing, a desire for something beyond themselves, an itch that needs to be scratched, a deep desire for purpose and for belonging. We desire security and we desire significance. And every human being has this desire. I'm going to call this desire a desire to be satisfied. The world around us is full of people pointing at this truth, non-Christians, Christians, and formulas to achieve this satisfaction that we all desire. There are countless viewpoints on what will meet this human need and this human desire to be satisfied. Most prominently and superficially, of course, is the pervasive message that we see in the media around us, that if you are rich, that if you are famous, if you are beautiful, if you win a Super Bowl, then certainly you will be satisfied. But with suicide, depression, divorce, and chemical abuse at all-time highs in the population of the famous, we can hardly conclude that this satisfies. Sean Aker got exposed to this writer. He wrote a great book called The Pursuit of Happiness. He's a Harvard professor in the field of positive psychology. He wrote a best-selling book called The Happiness Advantage. The premise of the book is that we live in a culture that says if you work hard, you will be successful, and then you'll be satisfied. So it's a Harvard researcher questioning whether or not that's really true in our society. Not a believer. He does a bunch of research, and he basically shows that this fallacy of working hard, being successful, and then you're happy is completely wrong. He basically identifies through research that it's actually happy people who become successful. And he underscores and outlines a lot of different practices that happy people practice, but he doesn't really answer the question, how does one become satisfied? How does one become happy? Another example of the world's attempt to explain this longing can be found in a famous TED talker and Nobel Prize winning author named Dan Kahneman. He's an author of a best-selling book called Thinking Fast and Slow. And in it, I want you to listen to this quote. He says, life satisfaction is about being happy with your life. It's the happiness that exists when we talk about the past and the big picture. Nobel Prize winner, that's his answer for this question. Eric Barker wrote, a famous writer, in Time Magazine, a summary of a vast amount of research a few years back. And he wrote an article in Time Magazine about how to be satisfied in your life. 5 steps proven by research. Are you ready? This is his formula, so very famous writer. 5 steps proven by research. Have friends. Set goals. Have a life story. Realize money's not important. And keep growing. I hope you're not feeling too satisfied with these answers this morning. A simple Google search on how to be satisfied in your life yields an amazing and sad display of all sorts of drivel. High in the search results from a source called Code of Living is the following quote. Satisfaction in life comes from within, and only you and alone have the power to make yourself content and at peace with yourself. These are examples of the world's recognition of our universal longing to be satisfied and how to go about it. And as well-meaning as these worldly scholars are, their suggestions just plain miss the mark. As human beings, there is a truth that we need to confront. The things of this world will never satisfy. As human beings, there is a truth that we need to confront. The things of this world will never satisfy. C.S. Lewis saw this reality, most of you know C.S. Lewis, a prolific writer and teacher. He saw this reality in Mere Christianity. He said famously, if I find in myself a desire which no experience in this world can satisfy, the only logical explanation is that I was made for another world. Lewis wrote about this longing for satisfaction in many of his works. In The Problem of Pain, he was writing to appealing to the non-Christian, and he says this, there have been times when I think we do not desire heaven, but more often I find myself wondering whether in our heart of hearts we have ever desired anything else. It is the secret signature of each soul, the incommunicable and unappeasable want, the thing we desired before we met our wives or made our friends or chose our work, and which we shall still desire on our deathbeds when the mind no longer knows wife or friend or work. All of your life, an unattainable ecstasy has hovered just beyond the grasp of your consciousness. The day is coming when you awake to find beyond all hope that you have attained it, or else that it was within your reach and you have lost it forever. Augustine talks about this human longing as well, and famously said, our hearts are restless till they find their rest in thee. Not surprisingly, the Bible is full of this mega narrative. From end to end, the Bible tells us about our creation, our rebellion, our longing for restoration, and the satisfaction of the soul that God offers us in Jesus Christ. When I say satisfaction, I mean the feeling of peace, the feeling that all is right in my heart and in my life and in my mind. It's a feeling of purpose. It's a feeling of belonging. It's the ability to see a different reality than what my eyes actually see. It is a thirst that is quenched. It's a hunger that's filled. This is what I mean by satisfaction. What do you and I want most? I'll tell you. You and I want to be satisfied. And I'll tell you more than this. Satisfaction is only found in God and the things of God. Anything else is an imposter. This is the essence of the gospel. In the New Testament, and shown so clearly in the book of John, I want to hover on some verses in the book of John. And I love this, the book of John, for its simple and clear depiction and appeal for this human, meeting of this human need. I want us to look at the ways that Jesus appeals to that need. John 4:13, everyone who drinks this water will thirst again, but whoever drinks of the water that I give him will never thirst. But the water that I give shall be in him a water springing up to eternal life. In John 6, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall not hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. John 8, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. In the book of John, in just this one book in the New Testament, Jesus is the Word in chapter 1. He is the light in chapters 1, 3, and 8. He's the living water in chapter 4. And he's the bread of life in chapter 6. How many different ways does the Lord speak to us? How many different metaphors does he use to make it clear? You have a longing. I have a longing for truth, and he is the Word. For relief from the dark, and he is the light. For quenching of a thirst, he is the living water. And for the satisfaction of your hunger, he is the bread of life. If that were not enough, he clarifies his appeal to us in chapter 14, verse 6, where he says, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. The satisfaction that we desire starts when we place our faith in Christ. Our satisfaction begins when we understand the gospel message, when we see our sin, when we confess our need, and we receive Jesus Christ as our only hope. That's where our satisfaction begins. As a junior in high school, when I understood this truth, when I understood the gospel, and I understood that my need for forgiveness, I received him and I placed my faith in him. There was a legitimate peace for the first time in my life. But you know what else I experienced? I was like a baby. I needed basic teaching. My mind was not instantly transformed. In fact, despite the miracle of salvation, my ways of thinking did not look that different. What I have learned over these 25, 30 years is that God does not just save us. He renews us. He matures us. And he continues to open our eyes. He continues to open my eyes about what it means to be satisfied in him. So I ask us this morning, how do we grow in this satisfaction? I think the New Testament fully answers this. I'd like us to look at the book of Matthew. A year or so ago, we studied the Beatitudes. And in the Beatitudes, Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, I think there's a really important passage that helps us unlock what this satisfaction in God looks like in the life of a Christian. Jesus is teaching to the believers or what it looks like to be a Christian in the Sermon on the Mount. And in Matthew chapter 5, verse 6 through 9, he says, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And blessed are the peacemakers, and they will be called the sons of God." As we think about this verse, let's think about hunger. Jesus uses some very tangible examples. Let's think about hunger. When was the last time you were hungry? Maybe you're feeling that right now. When were you last thirsty? This desire that we have humanly for food and drink. In verse 6, he says, "Hunger and thirst for righteousness, and you will be satisfied." What does it mean to desire righteousness? Do we hunger for it? Do we thirst for it? I think what it means is that we are to desire, the Christian is to desire rightness. We are to desire what God desires. And then the following verses, it says, when we show mercy, when we have a pure heart, and when we are acting righteously, and when we make peace, we are acting righteously. I believe that as we mature in our faith and we hunger and thirst for the things of God, particularly drawn out in these three examples of showing mercy, having a pure heart, and acting and making peace, we put into practice righteous living and righteous thinking. As a Christian, the more I desire the things of God, the more I see things as God sees them, and the more I yield to God leading in my life, God's leading in my life, the more satisfaction that I will experience. As a Christian, the more I desire the things of God, the more I see things as God sees them, and the more I yield to God's leading in my life, I find the satisfaction that only God can give. We have a longing to be satisfied. The things of this world will never satisfy. When we come to faith, we begin to understand what it means to be truly satisfied. And when God matures us in our faith and we pursue the things of God, our satisfaction is made more and more complete. Our thirst is quenched and our hunger is met. My prayer for myself, my prayer for us this morning is the same prayer that Paul prayed in Ephesians when he said, "For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with the power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with the fullness of God," that you might be filled with the fullness of God. This is the satisfaction that God gives us in Christ, and this is the satisfaction that God meets us as he grows us in his word and in faithfulness. In closing and in admonition, to those of you who are mature in the faith, show us your joy. Use your words to teach us. Set for us an example of the fruit of God in your life. Remind those of us who are younger how wonderful it is to walk with God through every time of life and boldly witness to the lost with the compelling case of a transformed life. To the young in faith, be renewed. Pursue righteousness. Know that the world, and this is particularly to some of you youngsters, know that the world is filled with false promises that will not satisfy. Lean into the things of God. Nourish yourself with the word, with fellowship and prayer, and share the gospel. And lastly, to the non-believer, if you have not yielded your life to Christ and asked him to come into your life, today can be that day. You have a longing that this world will never meet. God can satisfy your deepest desires. And in faith, we come to him and we ask Jesus to be Lord of our lives. It's as simple as praying and asking Jesus to forgive you and give you the satisfaction that only he can provide.